Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you for giving up your Sunday morning to learn a little about chinuch or about shalom bayis or whatever the issues are. Rabbi Carrigan asked me to give this shiur a number of months ago. He says you can pick whichever one you want, either shalom bayis or Sunday on chinuch. Tom White said, I think you're better off speaking about chinuch. Anyway, so hi, how are you? Just a little, you know, obviously it's a topic that we could speak forever about, and it's a topic that is painfully obvious. So, over the course of the next half an hour or so, I'll just give certain Torahs that have resonated with me in terms of helping you raise, helping all of us raise our children. And really, as the Gemara says, Zil Gemar, go and then learn. Really, we all have to just, this is something that requires continuous work. It's the most important work that we do, and therefore we have to continue doing it, you know, with our children, Yirtzeh Hashem, our grandchildren, and it's something that continues to the end. Anyway, so the first time chinuch is ever brought up is interesting. It's regarding the war against the four kings and the five kings and the original five towns before Woodmere, Lawrence, etc. There was this battle that happened, which is Vayishma Avram Kinishba Achiv. He heard that his brother, this is referencing Lot, Vayarak es chanichav, so he mustered, as it says in this English translation, he got his retainers. But the word chanichav comes from the word chinuch, where he basically, we know that is referencing Eliezer, who Avram had trained. Please, if you'd like. That is referencing Eliezer, who Avram trained. And the word chanichav comes from the root, which is chinuch. And Rashi tells us, what is chinuch? And it's so important to recognize what is chinuch when one, you know, gets involved in education. Rashi comments, chanichov, chanchoksi. Okay. Who is that referencing? Here, take a source sheet as you come in. Ze Eliezer. This is referencing to Eliezer. Why is Eliezer called his chanichov? Says Rashi, shekoncho lemitzvos. Because he was literally prepared or trained for mitzvos. So Avram is, and Eliezer have this relationship where Avraham is his trainer and Eliezer, so to speak, is the trainee, and that's referred to as him. V'hu lashon, and this references lashon haschalas knisas ha'adam, bringing a person in, take a source as you come in, haschalas knisas ha'adam, bringing a person, o kli, or a vessel, le'umanos, to the job, she'asid la'amod ba, that he will not do now, but he will do in the future. What is chinuch? Rashi is describing chinuch as focus, not on this moment, but the beginning on that which eventually will be done. I'll never forget the first time I heard this spelled out was by the Rosh Yeshiva Weinberg of Larry Shaw at the time, and he was very against a minhag that had developed of bringing little girls to the Aron Kodesh to have them kiss the Sefer Torah. Like you take your 3 and 4 year old, everybody's well meaning, they bring their 3 year old, 4 year old daughter over to the Sefer Torah to kiss the Sefer Torah. He says, what are you doing? Because eventually, in the end goal is not going to be for them to kiss the Sefer Torah. So therefore, why would you start? Whenever you have a vision of what chinuch is, it should always be with the end in play. Never start with the beginning, but always start with the end. We always talk about this when it comes to curriculum design. As you ask, please feel free to take a source sheet. That the first thing you have to do when you're developing a curriculum is begin with the end. What do you want people to leave with? What are your eventual goals? What is chinuch? Start off with your goals. In organizations, they talk about mission statements. There's no difference in the world of raising our children that when it becomes the goal, when we have that child, or even before we have that child, the mission statements of our family should be set out. As Dr. Pelkovitz says, he spoke today, what is that family bumper sticker? What do you stand for? What are your primary motives? I heard a beautiful story last week that somebody asked, when is it proper to start davening for you? They just had a baby, and they asked the Rav, when should we start davening for the baby? And the statement of the Rav was 9 months ago. Start with the end. Always that has to be the primary focus in the beginning. That's what Rashi describes here as chinuch. He brings a number of proofs for this. Number one, v'chein chanuch lenar. Rashi only quotes the beginning of the pasuk. Chanuch lenar, raise your child. Why? What is the end of the puzzle? Chana planar pidarko. Why? He has yaskin, because when he gets older, like, he won't shift. He won't stray. You have to start with the end in mind, and that'll make the beginning. Chanukah Sam Mizbeach, he brings a raya. When they establish the Mizbeach, what is the end goal of the Mizbeach? Chanukah Sabayis, when you set up your house, whenever you bought your first house, when you were young, you know, first marriage, you buy your first house, the vision has to be, oh, I could see 10 years down the road what's going to be, and this is the way I want to establish it, that this is the dining room I want to look like. If you don't have that vision of what the end is, it's very, very hard to go through chinuch. And there are so many examples of this that it changes the way, I think, you educate your child. In other words, very often, we get caught up as being what some people call catchers. What is a catcher? You catch your kid doing something good. Stop that, stop that, stop that. So that's great for the moment. We'll get temporary gains, but long term, is that really going to be in the child's best interest if you happen to catch them from, again, when our children are young, they do silly things. You know, I almost forget, my youngest kid is now 9. I'm not that bad about it. So, but when they're 3 years old, 2 years old, they're doing things that you would abhor them to do when they're 22 years old. Most of the time, they grow out of it. You just got to let it happen, and we'll see how to do that shortly. That's going to be the next part. But the idea of chinuch tanaral pidarko, the idea of chinuch, is just with the end in mind. And if the entire focus is with the end in mind, it changes the way we mechanech our child. Okay, with that prequel, I just want to share with you what my favorite Torah of chinuch is. And hopefully this will help us raise children to what we call turbulent times. You know, I'm looking for, my wife didn't like my title. Rabbi Targan asked me to give her a title, so I'm trying to give her a catchy title. So it's Raising Children in Turbulent Times. She doesn't know, that's just going to scare them away. So Baruch Hashem, you're all here. But this is really the what I want to get at is this Torah from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says something very, very beautiful here. And it's a very beautiful Torah. And this Torah really resonated with me in terms of making me stop talking in general. So the Haftorah, in the Navi in Shoftim, describes that Shimshon becoming a Nazir. And how did Shimshon become a Nazir? Is that prior to him being born, the Malach came over to his mother and told his mother, Mrs. Manoach, that your child is going to be a Nazir. But Manoach was not there when this took place. So Manoach was a little concerned. The Pasuk tells us, she's telling him that the child should not drink and he's going to be a nazir, etc. Minabeten, from the time he comes out of the womb. Right? So then Manoach starts davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't there for that whole conversation, for the whole dialogue, so he has no idea that his son Shimshon and what he should do with his son who's not yet born. I want the Malach to come back and to report to me the information. Right? So he could show us and he could advise us and teach us what we should do with the Nar. So this is the pasuk. These are the pasuk where Manoach is troubled by this idea that his son, who will be born, has to be a Nazir. He wasn't there for the original conversation between the Malach and his wife. So he davens, what should he do with Shimshon? Essentially, what are the halachos of Shimshon? Now, what's the trouble with this? I got to give credit to my daughter. She made all these specials. She took all this far and took my phone and somehow put it onto the sheet. So I thank her for that. Anyway, so Rav Schwab is troubled by a number of things he's looking. And based on that, he lays out one of the most important elementary yisodas. Says he made tefillas manoach bekan chashel avin. This tefila is very difficult for us to understand. When did the story take place? Let's take time to the Navi. Look in the Chumash. Parshas Nos. Open it up. What does the Nazir have to do? I can tell you three things that the Nazir not allowed to do. What does the Nazir not allowed to do? Not drink wine. Not become tummy to a maze. What else? What's the third one? Can't cut his hair. Right? We all know this. Let's say he wanted to know more. He wanted to learn the sugyas and nazir, the mitzvah and nazir. Call your local Orthodox rabbi. Ask him. You sit down with your rabbi, just like we do, and you say, "Nu, what am I supposed to do with my little tzaddikel? How am I supposed to raise him? What is he not allowed to do? What is he allowed to do?" And get a play by and sit there with your pen and paper and take notes. The news was given that he's going to be a Nazir. So why do you need this Malach to come? To get a revelation from a Malach, that's pretty fashion. You have to daven for the Malach to tell you the halachas of a Nazir? Yosir Kasha, more difficult. Then all of a sudden the Malach appears. What does the Malach report to Manoach? He did not say anything new. The Malach repeated to Manoach exactly what he told to the wife. Nothing new. You can see that it says the pasuk over there. Mikol Asher Amarti El Isha Tishmor Mikol Asher Yetsa Migufan Hayayin Megepen Hayayin Lo Tochal, etc., etc. The Malach revealed nothing new to Shimshon. So the question that Rav Schwab is raising: why did Manoach? Thank you. Why did Manoach need a recapitulation of what was said to his wife? And why did Manoach specifically daven for the Malach? Turning over to page 2. Says Rav Schwab, a beautiful idea. For those of you who know, Rav Schwab was the Moradasha of the Breuer's community for many years, up until 1995 when he passed away, but he took over the Washingtonites community. You know, where Breuer had established the Breuer's community. Okay, Veneer Bezet. Shafil HaMenoach Yodea Dinei Naziris. Manoach might have known all the halakhas of Naziris, but what didn't he know? Lo Haisa Bakashasa El Nidokas Chinuch. He wasn't asking what to do with the child. He was asking, how do I raise that child? It was a question of chinuch. Meaning, how am I going to get Shimshon to buy in to this unbelievable request that he can never drink wine, he can never go to a funeral, and he can't cut his hair? The kids are going to make fun of him in yeshiva. How do I raise a kid like that? Shoros Ladas, man na asel l'na'ar hayula. What should I do with this child? Daika she tamu ba'inav, ech yitzavak ha'shorot la'av. How do you command a father, legadel u'lechadek o'nazir, to raise a Nazir? That was the question Manoach was bothered by. How could I raise a Nazir? The Kedusha Nosefes, with additional Kedusha. Hold on, you have a better side. And it will be Surim Nosefim al Shana'am. And with all of these additional chumras that none of his friends are going to have, he's going to go to yeshiva every day. Could you imagine? You go with your long hair up until 3 years old is cute, but once you get past the age of upshare and you're the only guy coming with long curls, everybody's going to be making fun of you. How could I raise a kid like that? If Manoach himself wasn't the Nazir. So listen to the response of the Malach. That was what he was asking the Malach. He was davening for the Malach. The Malach responds, you're right. The father has to be a Nazir as well. The only way you can raise a Nazir is if you are a Nazir yourself. Don't ask of your kid more than you could do. That's what the Malach is saying. Everything I said to the woman, that the child should be, you should be also. That just like during the days of pregnancy, Tishmor gam ata af, you too should accept upon yourself. An incredible idea of Schwab, and this is the idea of all of Chinuch. You want your child to be something. The only way you can make any demands of your child is if you model that behavior. The modeling of the behavior is the only thing that's going to be successful. You could talk forever. I can't have a conversation with a parent and they're saying to me, I don't understand why my kid doesn't wear tzitzis. So, I can't ask the question because it's rude, but 9 out of 10 times it's because the father's not wearing tzitzis. Now, sometimes the kid doesn't wear tzitzis, okay. When it comes to learning, I don't know, why isn't the kid into learning? Again, what are you doing on a Sunday? My kid hates going to yeshiva on Sunday. Why does your kid hate going to yeshiva on Sunday? What is the husband do on Sunday morning? Is he learning? If you want to sit it, I'm saying this to this crowd here because everybody's here learning. But the only way to encourage your kid on a Sunday morning to be excited about learning is if the father is going to learn. If the father is going to softball, which is important also, but don't make that demand of your child. That's irresponsible. I read, in preparing for this, I knew that this is common sense. Again, I'm saying this is a very beautiful Torah, but everything that I'm sharing with you is the ultimate common sense. So I just did a quick Google search of modeling and education. I came across a very interesting study by, I don't know if you ever heard of this, by Albert Bandura, called the Bobo Doll. Anybody know about the Bobo Doll experiments? So the Bobo Doll experiments in the late 60s, you can Wikipedia just like I did. The Bobo Doll experiments in the late 60s, early 70s, was a fascinating experiment. They took a number of control groups, and one of the control groups, what they did was, they, you know those dolls that are hit, and when you hit them, they kind of like stand right back up, right? You know, they weigh them on the bottom. So they did this with a number of different groups. And with one of the groups, they took the Bobo dolls, and when they, you know, they modeled, they showed the parents, or adults, I should say in this case, in front of the children in Stanford University, they showed them hitting the Bobo doll. With another group, they showed them being nice to the Bobo doll, and with the third group, they showed them doing nothing to the Bobo doll, not being nice, not being negative. And then, it's like a very cruel experiment, I wouldn't do this in my job. Then, they took the three groups and they put them together on some level, and they put the Bobo doll in the room. And they then denied these kids, after giving them toys for a little bit, they then denied the kids toys, and they wanted to see how the children would react. And not surprisingly, the group that was in the room with the adults who were punching the Bobo dolls, they wound up punching the Bobo dolls. The group that wasn't there didn't punch the Bobo dolls, because what were the kids doing? They're modeling the behavior of the adults that they saw in their lives. It is education 101. We all know it, and it's much easier to just sometimes just say it. But the only thing that works in education is if we model the behavior that we want from our children. It doesn't work any other way. There's an old expression, don't do as I say, right? Don't do as I do as I say, but really it's the opposite that comes out. The only thing that ever comes out is the behavior that I want. I heard from, there was a recent series somewhere, I read this, it was striking to me, that when I'm at a table with my children, do I get more upset when Lashon Hara is spoken, or do I get more upset when they spill something? What do I get more upset about? That instant reaction. What behavior am I showing them that is important? Am I showing that it's important to speak nicely, or am I showing that it's important to make sure that you're clean? That's going to come out. It's not the moment where I give speeches. You know, so sometimes, you know, you wind up giving speeches, speak in front of a crowd, like I'm doing now, I'm giving a speech. But in front of your children, you know, they get up in front of our mitzvah, and you give over the values of your children. That's a waste of time, right? I've done it also. I've given that bar mitzvah speech to my own children. I get it. But what's more important is how you act on a day-in, day-out basis. When they see you acting in a certain way, they will wind up acting in a certain way. I'll never forget, I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Willie, he was talking about how he became honest in business. He was talking about something else, but this is something that came out of it. It's fascinating. He said, you know, all the schmoozing in the world about being ethical and being honest, that didn't help him. What did help him was the following story. Was that one time he was in his kitchen, and back in the day, for those of you who remember, like, you used to have the phones that were attached to the wall, right? Crazy stuff. Anyway, so that means you couldn't escape and walk away, because everybody's phones were attached to the wall. And his father was engaged in a business deal. And there was one piece of the deal that wasn't so glatt, or eskahalvin, as you would say, right? It wasn't so kosher. And therefore, what did his father do? His father says, I'm sorry, I can't go ahead with the deal. Now, the Willie heard that and said, that was better than any Moshe Shmuel, I'm being honest. Why? Because he saw it. It was a modeling of the example that we wanted to give over to his children. You can give your kids 12 years of a yeshiva education. It costs a lot of money. But if at the end of the 12 years, if you just tell them one time, you know, oh, it's okay, you can copy the homework from somebody else. Just every single shmuz on honesty is thrown out the window. You could do it in 1 second, but we all do it, unfortunately, but it's, you know, because we're all human. But the key is to keep, you know, to remember this, that we have to be honest, not because we have to be honest, we have to be honest to be honest, but also to give over to our children that modeling of the behavior. Rav Moshe Feinstein says something remarkable. This is a beautiful idea that I was lazy, but I wanted to find the Rashi that I showed you in the beginning. So I Googled Aaron Levine Chinuch, because I knew it just instead of looking it up, finding the Rashi. Right away, this Torah came up, and I couldn't believe I never saw it before Friday. When I saw it Friday, I'm like, I have to share this, I was so excited. I ran to Rabbi Kamenetsky's office, I'm like, you gotta hear this, we were all fired up. So, Avraham Avinu, it's also based on a story that happened this week, Parsha. Avraham Avinu, when the Malachim comes to greet Avraham Avinu does unbelievable Knossos Orchim, and he does something that is very, very beautiful. He calls over Yishmael, and he engages Yishmael in Chinuch. How so? By having Yishmael deliver the water and the meat to these malachim. Looks beautiful. Rashi comments over there, and Rashi says, because Avraham Avinu did the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim through a shaliach, Klal Yisrael will eventually be served through a shaliach. And in this week's parasha, the example that he gives Rashi is that instead of us getting water directly through a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it happens through Moshe Rabbeinu in the story of the Ark. That's the Rashi. But I think it's beautiful. You want to engage your kid in chinuch. So what do? You have him be the waiter to serve the malachim. It's beautiful. But yet, Rashi doesn't seem to be so excited about it. That, you did it through a shaliach, it's going to happen to you later on down the shaliach. Rav Moshe finds, he says, an unbelievable comment. He says this in four different places. So what's not here, I'm going to tell you from the other places. Yukat Nama Admai. Hada Avram Nasin Lahanar Yishma. This is which Avram Avinu gave to the Nar, Lasos, Aben Boker Kedei Lachan Tovavitzis. He gave him the meat to give to the Malachim, to get him excited about this. V'chei Shar Yivar, Shal Sayyidei Shaliach. All these other things he did through a messenger. V'chadish Baruch Hu Shalom Dan Ki Al Shaliach. Like I told you before, but Baruch Hu repaid us down the road to a Shaliach. Nira, the Yeshkin of Gokul, the Zeshia Asim Atzmo. It would have been a greater chinuch had Avraham Avinu done it himself. Sharon, Eichshu Dover Gogol Ma'od, because then Yishmael would have seen how precious this was to Avraham Avinu. Shetzarek l'hatshuyach ba'atzmo, that he needed to trouble himself with it. Shelachein yichanchu mizeh l'hakshu, to show how beautiful, how important it is, murut l'hachabab of the Yoser, to take it precious, v'kifisha amar l'haben, shuhuasa, then telling his son to do it. What Moshe finds, he says, what would have been the greater act of Avraham Avinu to do at that particular moment was to engage, not to tell his son to do it, but to show his son how excited he was about the mitzvah and to do it himself. I was blown away by this, because I always thought, you know, it's nice to tell your kid to do something, to engage in mitzvah. Says Rav Moshe, you know what you're showing your kid by telling him to do it and not you doing it? You know what you're telling your kid? I don't want to do it. I'm lazy. Did you do your favorite? I mean, it's like, what you don't want to do yourself, you have somebody else do. The Gemara Kedushin says, mitzvah abo, yosef, maybe shluchel. The mitzvah is greater when you do it yourself than the shaliach. So counterintuitive. Again, it's this idea of modeling the behavior as opposed to designating the behavior to your child. This idea applied in all areas. This modeling behavior is the way in which you become a Hanukkah child. Again, the biggest fight, again, raising you, getting back to raising your kids in turbulent times, the biggest fight that, again, as a parent, a child, you often have is going to be, you know, screen time. We're all going to have that. That battle is the battle of the ages today, screen time. How much screen time do you give your kids? How much time do they spend looking at the phone? You could tell them from today to tomorrow to put away the phone, put away the phone, put away the phone. But if your phone is out, you're telling them, keep your phone out. Doesn't matter what you tell them. I'll tell you a crazy story. It's a true story. Is that I used to not have a charger in my office in Yeshiva. So when I got home at 6 o'clock, I used to take my phone and put it in the charger. I didn't realize what I was doing, right? So one day, I announced to my kids, great news, I got a charger in school. Got a charger in Yeshiva. My kid gets, what happened? He says, because whenever you come home, you don't look at your phone for 2 hours. That's your charger. Now you can have your phone out when you come home. I said, okay, I got the mustard. I was in the paddle. So I still try to charge my phone, you know, when I come home. Because if we're demanding of our kids that we don't want them to be on the phones, how much time are we spending on our phones when we're with them? So it's hard because they're challenging. Because not only are phones, they're also on shopping lists, and they're also all the other stuff that goes along with it. And there are 42 carpools that need to be on. If I don't look at my phone, I'm going to miss the carpool, and then my kids are going to be left in Paraguay for a couple of hours. Like, these things happen, I get it. But again, we have to model behavior we want from our children, and that means, you know, trying our best to put away the screens for as long as we can when we're with them, because otherwise there's no way they're going to do it. So this is the idea that I wanted to come just give over today. It's not a very deep idea, it's painfully obvious, but like the Masil Sisharm says, in order for any kid, you just kind of rehash these ideas over and over again to remind yourself. So hopefully today we'll be a better parent. We'll go to another shiur tomorrow, we'll be a better parent, etc., etc. So the question is then, if we're going to model behavior, we're going to do everything, and our kids are going to sit there and say, you're doing a great job, is that so good? Like, do I want my kid not helping to clean up? Then how are they going to learn to clean up if they're not engaged? I'm going to be doing everything for them so they can learn to sit on their, you know, backsides for the rest of their lives. That's not so good either. So Revolta says something beautiful. I don't know if you know Revolta, but I think he wrote the most important Sefer on Tefillah ever. It's called the Zriya Ubin. You can get it in English, called Planting and Building, I think. And I have trouble reading English part. So here is, it's called Planting and Building. I think it's the most important Sefer written on Tefillah, where it describes this idea that the idea is Zriya. When you're in Tefillah, you're planting seeds. Very often, that's one of the frustrations we have as parents, as mechanchim, is that when you plant, so it takes some time for the fruits to flourish. The parent thing, it takes like maybe 40 years. My parents are still now, you know, trying to figure out when they're gonna have something from their children, right? It takes a long, long time. So, but the idea of planting versus building, building is I'm doing it for them. Planting is a very subtle idea. So in the Sefer, he writes this concept called Shittuf Achrayis. And the people who have mastered this more than anybody are Chabad Shluchim. They ever go to Chabad Shliach HaShittuf Achrayis, the shared responsibility. So I've had the discourse of traveling around a lot of places in America, and everywhere we go in America, Baruch Hashem is always like Chabad. In the Chabad, you always have the Chabad Rav, and then you have like six kids who are sitting there in the middle of some place that without any schools, and yet the kids seem to be doing fine. What's the secret sauce? What's the secret sauce? It's called the Shittuf Achrayis. Shittuf Achrayis. You could be in the middle of Omaha, Nebraska. You could be in the middle of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You could be anywhere. If you involve the kids in the process, not make them do it, but involve them as part of the process of chinuch, that is the key to raising them. Model behavior, yes. Don't make them do it for you, but make them partners. Look at what he says. This is a remarkable idea. I want to build up an additional idea. That's going to be a tremendous assistance in raising the children. You must engage the child in the work of the parents. Lamashal, for example, and this is a classic example. Somebody gives birth, you know, you have your three kids, a three-year-old, a six-year-old, a nine-year-old, and you have another kid. So when you bring home a new child home, so what happens? The three-year-old hates the little kid, right? Because the three-year-old is used to getting all the attention, and all of a sudden the attention is going to this new little thing that doesn't do anything. What the kid thinks is a blob. We think is adorable, but because they're not talking back. But like what I said, the three-year-old, it's a blob. Who Margish just asked him, he feels like he's on the sidelines. So b'chachmas achinuchu, what's the God? You must engage the child in the raising of the child. Even if they're 3 years old, let them be the one who put the pacifier in the mouth. The mother says, you have to tell her, you're my helper. So can you imagine? Now the kid feels like $1 million. I've been doing that time, the kid feels like an hour. No, you're part of this. I'm setting the table, come help me. Oh, Yavu Mashu Abu Rogu Ulai, Yinadi Tarisa, somebody comes, they can shake up the crib, the cradle. Hafeyar Margishu Niyashuta Shalimashu. What's the source for this? So listen to the source, beautiful source. Makor Lazer Anatta Mosin of Parashat Vayetze. Parashat Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu. Lakashu Lavan Radav Akra Yaakov. Lavan runs after Yaakov Avinu. So what does the Pasuk say? Ayom Yaakov Le'echov Lekto Avon. Yaakov says to his brothers. Now, how many brothers did Yaakov have? Unless I check. He had one brother, right? That's the way I learned the story. Yaakov tells him to his brothers in the plural. So it's clearly not Yaakov Esav. Who's Yaakov's brothers in this case? Who are Yaakov's brothers? His kids. Go gather the stones. Shu'al Chazal, the Medrash. Harei lo, Yaakov, Achim, Yaakov, their brothers. The Medrash answers, Ephav, Elubani. His brothers were his sons. What was the secret sauce of Yaakov Avinu at this point in his life? Earlier, you know, at some point in his life, Yaakov wasn't that successful in raising his kids. That's all complicated. So, but here at this point, what did Yaakov do? He engaged his children as brothers. Meaning, what does that mean? Revolta explains. The concept here is that the kids were involved in the process of gathering the stones. Not that they were the ones doing it for him, but they were brothers. They were partners. They were shutfim. They were collaborators. There is no greater way to engage people who are your under you, so to speak, your children, than to engage them unless you make them part of the process. You know, sometimes I have to develop a curriculum and I give it to a teacher. No teacher ever does it. the only way a teacher will ever follow your curriculum is if you engage them in the process. You have to be partners with them. Anybody who, you know, if you're a boss and you have somebody working for you, you want them to maximize their work, you have to engage them in part of the thought process. Children, you have to make them part of the process. You have to explain to them why you're doing something. It doesn't, yeah, of course you have to model behavior, but part of it, you have to model with them. I'll never forget my kindergarten teacher, my children told me this many years ago. So he said to my kids, clean up, you made a mess, clean up, clean up, clean up. That was like the least successful thing I did. Now, I've done many unsuccessful things. That was one of them. Finally, he says, go down on your hands and knees, start cleaning up with them, and then they'll join you. And sure enough, that's what happens, right? Come, let's clean up. Let's clean up is much more effective than you clean up. That's engaging them as part of the process. I was just telling this bar over to somebody, and the guy told me that, said that Rabbi Talkin, Dr. Talkin, I didn't speak here this morning. He must have spoken, right? He's always the biggest person on education. So he said that his father's shul, growing up in the white shul, that he was the envelope stuffer. That was his job. He was the envelope stuffer. Meaning he was part of the process of the shul, of the white shul. He wasn't just merely somebody going to his father's job. Oh my gosh, I can't watch baseball because I'm going to my father's shul. It was his shul. It was our shul. Everybody was part of it. I think that's the secret sauce that the Chabad people have. That by Chabad, it's everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're just raising your hand? Okay, sorry. I apologize. Anyway, so this is the idea. That's the idea by the Chabad. This is the idea that it's involving them in the process. That's Revolvi's big toe. Sorry, what time is it? How much time do I have? I have 1 minute. 1 minute? What time is this thing end? I don't even know. Go to the book. What time is it? It's 12 o'clock. I'll just end with the last thing. The most important thing any parent can do at the end of the day, yeah, you can model it. Yes, you can engage your kids in doing this behavior. Actually, there's an idea about having a relationship with them. But the most important thing you can do is daven for it. It's a sine qua non. Daven for it, daven for it, daven. If you don't daven for it, it can't happen. This revolt here, which I'm not going to share with you, is that the Kohen Gadol ultimately is responsible for, he's held accountable for any accidental death. Why is he held accountable, the Kohen Gadol, for the accidental death of anybody that happens during his time, anybody in Mikvah? Because he didn't daven for it. What's the source for that? You don't need a source for that. It's the most painfully obvious thing in the world that we all need siyata d'shmaya in raising our children. If you look here in this, I'll just share with you just one beautiful idea that Chazon Ish has, which he of course has. So if you look in the second column in the daven for it, it says what the tefillah is. In the middle of your Shema Koleinu, insert this Yehirah. So Yehirah v'nei v'shem v'lokei v'lokei v'chai, shetrachem o'bonai, you should have mercy on my child. V'tavo kaz levavo lahavol yirashmecha. That he should change him to somebody who loves the Kodesh Baruch Hu. By candlelight, there's nothing greater than for somebody's siyata d'shmaya when it comes to yirashmaya, than for the mother to daven for their children during the candlelight. Those beautiful tefillahs that we said, they even made them in the songs today, v'zakeni, that's a famous song, like Zakedi, Shiabanim, Ubanos, you know, Oskar Bitar Mitzvahs, etc. That's the key, I think, to all of raising children. You have to model that behavior to everybody here. You all model their behavior by just showing up to be sure today. So everybody should have tremendous applause in raising their children. Thank you very much. Listen, have a wonderful day.